Good day, listeners and viewers. Welcome to this edition of the Pure Sex Radio program. We're glad to have you here with us. My name is Jonathan, and I actually have a friend on the line. I've got Derek Thompson. And so, Derek, welcome to the program.
Hey, I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me, Jonathan.
Yeah, now before we dive into what I'm hoping and expecting to be a great conversation about some stuff that you're doing through an organization that you're part of, I want to let our listeners know, as we do every now and then, that we're a listener-supported program. And so the way that you're hearing us or seeing us is just because we've had incredible generous partners come alongside and support this ministry. And, you know, especially as we are starting to get into kind of the end of the year months and we're planning for our 2022 lineup of guests and topics and all of that, we would really encourage you and ask you to support this ministry because it helps us to make plans for expansion and how we can continue to broaden our reach for those who would want to have this information. So you can go to puresexradio.com and click on the donate link. Or another way that's really easy for helping others find what we are doing is just to rate and review the podcast after you've listened. So please rate and review, and we would be grateful for that. So Derek, why don't you tell us a little bit about TFC Global? So TFC Global is an organization you're connected with, and I'd love for our audience to just know, what is TFC Global and what does the organization do?
Yeah, that's a great question. In fact, I just recently joined TFC Global, and my love for this ministry, I feel like it's gone from zero to 60. You know, I joined in February, but TFC Global is a beautiful ministry that originally started as a chaplaincy ministry to truck drivers. And I think it began up in Canada and then came down to the U.S. And they have this beautiful ministry just reaching out to truck drivers, and had chapels all across the United States, a really beautiful thing. And recently, really, I wanted to take the chaplaincy ministry to the next level. And now is a highly certified training for chaplains that obviously minister in truck stops across the country, but also are trained to go into law enforcement places, into truck companies, and, you know, really just into the community. So TFC has been doing some amazing work the past, I don't know, 70 years now.
Yeah, so maybe tell us a little bit about how you and your life intersected with TFC Global. How did that come about?
Yeah, so my background is in anti-human trafficking work. I've been doing that now for a little over 16 years. Had been doing that actually in Florida. Recently moved to Pennsylvania, where I connected with Ron, who's the president of TFC Global. And what I found out is that TFC, because they were involved in the truck industry and, you know, working in truck stops and places like that, they had actually been combating human trafficking for these past 70 years. Most of those years, they didn't even know that they were combating human trafficking. They just were. And then recently, though, had discovered more of a need to want to put some more resources and energy into making a difference when it comes to human trafficking. So that's how we initially kind of connected.
And where did your passion for helping in that space of anti-human trafficking kind of come from? Was there a light bulb that went off? Was there a personal connection to the issue? What kind of got you into this for 16 years?
Yeah, it's a great question. It was seminary. I went to Fuller Theological Seminary, and I was going to be I went to seminary to get a Master of Divinity and then hopefully become a pastor or possibly a missionary. And it was my second quarter at Fuller. I had one elective left, you know, in filling out my class. There was one elective. My student advisor said, "Hey, Derek, I think you'd like this course called Children at Risk. You know, it's a new class that we're offering. Why don't you, you know, kind of fill out your schedule that way?" And it's, you know, one of those ironic things, because something that just kind of was added at the last second ended up changing my life forever. And it was the Children at Risk class. I read a thin book for that class, a 63-page book. And there was an overview of different ways children are at risk in the world. And chapter 5 of that book was children of the sex trade. Is it possible to be born a second time? And the title alone is what really changed my life. I read that title and it just like, it felt like a sucker punch to the gut. You know, it just like, I had a very strong emotional reaction and just couldn't believe that something like this is actually happening in the world. So that's actually what started my my venture into anti-human trafficking.
Yeah. Well, this year, and just for our listeners to know, I've actually known Ron for some years. Our ministry has been connected to Ron's work up there in the Northeast, and so it was kind of cool. Some things that started to come together this year when you came on board with TFC Global is some ideas started to percolate about maybe a potential partnership. How can we maybe sort of put our heads together, put our ministries together in a way that could help even more men in that space who are dealing with all kinds of sexual brokenness issues? Can you take us through a little bit of what happened in that, and then maybe we can talk a little bit about what that partnership has become?
Absolutely, yeah. You know, I think the what happened, so in investing in anti-human trafficking work, the more you get involved in it, the more you learn and become educated, one of the things that you'll eventually come up against is the need for good intervention work when it comes to the buyer demand. You know, so sex trafficking is a business. It's an illegal business happening all over the world, making billions of dollars, and is the primary incentive for pimps and traffickers to do what they do. And so you see this big, you know, gap in our strategy to combat human trafficking when you look at the buyer demand and what's actually really happening that would help men get free from consumer sexual beliefs and behaviors. And so that's where Ron brought me on to really take that up. And as he brought me on to say, hey, Derek, you know, let's tackle this best way we can. The partnership that he already had with Be Broken was just such a natural connection. And the workshop was such a beautiful thing that's happening in Texas and Florida and had been in Pennsylvania. But the first thing I said is, hey, let's bring this back to Pennsylvania. And we also have chaplains in other parts of the country. It'd be nice if we could maybe even one day have this expand to different parts of the country. So I think that is, that's key, is to find, you know, what people, I think, who aren't as familiar with this issue, what they don't understand is that there are resources and ministries that actually work, that actually help get men free. And one of the lies we can believe is that, well, it's impossible. You know, you know, men are never going to change, or freedom isn't possible. And that's obviously just not true. And as you can well attest, freedom is possible. It doesn't mean you don't have to put in, you know, hard work. The people who have created this behavior over a long period of time, certainly it takes hard work, but man, you know, freedom is possible.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that is the name of our workshop, Gateway to Freedom. And so as we came together, it just seemed like a perfect fit for then you guys to develop what you're calling the Gateway to Freedom Foundation. Mm-hmm. So can you tell us a little bit more about what all that includes? We can certainly talk about the workshop aspect and let people know kind of what that's about. But you guys are wanting to put a little bit more under that umbrella of the Gateway to Freedom Foundation. And tell us also maybe how you're going about maybe, lack of a better word, targeting the guys that would benefit from this these resources that you're putting together.
Yeah, great question. So, yeah, Gateway to Freedom Foundation is is the anti-human trafficking initiative of TFC Global. So that's what the Gateway to Freedom Foundation is. And our primary mission or goal is to free every person from consumer sexual beliefs and behaviors. That's what we're after, which for us in anti-human trafficking work is another way of saying that is ending the demand for commercial sex. So that's our, you know, our great purpose that we run to every single day at, and we'll exhaust ourselves to solve that. problem. And what that looks like for us is a couple things. What we see is missing in this work right now is what we call a comprehensive approach to combating the demand. And so there's a lot of things out there right now that would say, hey, this is an anti-demand strategy, but they're usually pretty simplistic in what they're really doing. So it's usually like a campaign, for example. You know, there'll be a campaign that is telling people don't buy sex, you know, and where that's a, you know, that's nice to put that out there. It's good to do something rather than nothing. It's really not taking the demand seriously. And so Gateway to Freedom Foundation, we're creating a comprehensive approach to combat this. And simply what that means is that we do believe in accountability, that we need to raise the penalties on those who are paying for prostituted people, you know, raise the penalties for buyers. In fact, buyers have told us that that is a key strategy, that if you mm-hmm. make it more costly, it will deter the behavior. But then two, intervention. You know, we don't want to just raise the penalty and then not give intervention. And again, we see this happening. We see some places that are cracking down on the buyer demand, and then no bridge to resources that would actually help men get free or whoever's struggling with this get free. And so that intervention piece is really, really crucial, and where we partner with you on and some other agencies as well. We want to make sure that intervention is possible for every single person. And then awareness. There's a lot of cultural myths and barriers that actually keep people from seeking freedom. And a lot of the times, you know, the church, I've heard this so much now in my work, it's amazing how the church, the local church, actually has become one of those barriers for people. Sitting in their local church and not feeling that is a safe place for them to say, hey, you know what, I'm really struggling with this, and, you know, or let me access the resources that I know will help me, because then I'm kind of like outing myself, you know. And if we want to make some difference in this, we've got to create ways within our culture that makes it easier for people to access these resources that would help them get free. And then lastly, the prevention piece. We've got parents and an adult generation that I would say really we don't know how to talk to our children about pornography, about consumer sex. So the typical thing we do is try to ignore it, you know, or not talk about it. And so if we can equip our parents and our pastors and teachers and youth pastors how to do this in a better way, then we have a much better chance of actually preventing the behavior to begin with. So,
man, that's great. You know, as you were talking about that, kind of raising the accountability, but at the same time trying to provide avenues for help. Mm-hmm. It made me, the first thing that popped into my head is that's the beautiful tension that a believer in Jesus Christ is supposed to carry between justice and mercy, right? Amen. We're told that Jesus was full of grace and truth. It's like there's this really difficult kind of balancing act that we're to do that says, absolutely, there's justice here. There needs to be a sense of this is wrong. This is hurting people. There needs to be accountability for that. And at the same time, when there is repentance on those buyers' parts, there needs to be an avenue to be able to say, there's grace, there's restoration, there is transformation available to you. And so tell us a little bit of what maybe even that you've experienced in your own work in this field for 16 years. Have you seen the reality that transformation can happen on the demand side when people will repent of their sinful behaviors as it relates to buying sex?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think another myth is that men, that relates to this, is that men don't care about this issue or they want to avoid, or they have, you know, if you talk about consumer sex, that they're going to have kind of this like negative view or something. And I have experienced the opposite to be true, that if you engage men in a healthy conversation about consumer sex, not coming down from a place of judgment or or bias or anything like that, but really talking to men about the way that consumer sex is harming us as individual men, as how it harms our family and how it harms people in our community, that men are more than willing to engage in the conversation and with this idea that there is then hope and freedom for those that are struggling with it. It really is the approach. What we have found that in places that it's just strong accountability, you know, high accountability, saying, you know, this is we're no longer going to tolerate this behavior, and it's really strong there without the intervention piece or the engaging men in healthy conversation and bridge. Then all that does is creates more shame and creates more hiding.
You know, yeah, more secrecy, right?
More secrecy, which is the, you know, which if you're wanting to combat demand, that's the, you know, the kryptonite of that. You know, you don't want to create more shame and more secrecy. And that's what accountability without intervention does. You know, if I was, you know, so one, two, I've experienced that in my life. When I was getting free, I needed the hope and the grace that let me know that, hey, this is possible, I can do it, and it's good for me. So if it was just, you know, judgment and high accountability, then I would have been, I too would have said, hey, I've got to hide this at all cost. Yeah. You know, it's not safe for me to expose this behavior, so I'm going to hide it, which then would have just creates a vicious cycle.
Now, do you see any dangers if that balance gets swung the other direction? If there's an imbalance to say, hey, listen, there's all this love and grace and, you know, opportunities for transformation, but no accountability.
Yeah.
Are there dangers way too?
Yes. And I love framing it that way, that these two things have to be at a good tension with each other. You know, you need a good balance between these two. But honestly, for many, many decades, and I don't even know how far back it goes, but for a long, long time, we were operating with zero to no accountability. You know, when it comes from legally speaking, men were not being held accountable for buying, you know, for paying for prostituted people and the harm that was actually really causing. And so that's always been an issue. It's been hard. And I think from a societal perspective, to hold men accountable for paying for prostituted people and for consumer sex. And I think for the most part, those who that have engaged in that behavior have tried hard to pass the blame on everybody else, you know, and not take any responsibility. So, and these are things that we kind of hear too, you know, you'll hear like the excuses. I've gotten used to hearing them over the years now. Like boys will be boys, you know, that's a way to not take any responsibility. This is just, you know, what it means to be a man, or this is just what boys do. So it's not my fault. Prostitution is the oldest profession in the world. You'll hear that quite often. And all kinds of different things like that are essentially saying, hey, we don't want to take responsibility for this behavior. We're not responsible for it. You know, we're just trying to meet a need here and there. So the need to raise the accountability is there. And as a society and local jurisdictions, we all should say, yeah, let's make it known that, hey, we really do care about this, and this behavior is harming people. So we're going to take it seriously, while again, at the same time, a lot of grace, intervention, restoration. It's not different, just real quick, it's not different what we're actually doing with trafficking victims. It's actually the same approach. We have now, over the past couple decades, have learned, hey, one, let's stop arresting victims, right, of sex trafficking, and provide intervention resources for them, you know, provide an opportunity for them to get healing and freedom and the services that they need, because they need that. And so it's really doing the same thing, but this now just focused on the buyer demand.
Yeah. So now let's try to address some of our audience that I'm sure is maybe just saying, listen, all this stuff about prostitution, buying sex. Man, you're in a realm I'm not even dealing with. I mean, I've never paid for sex. I mean, my problem is porn. So
right.
I think I'm just going to turn the podcast off because this has nothing to do with anything that I'm dealing with. Can you help us understand the connection between human trafficking and sex trafficking and pornography?
Yeah, these two, that's why we talk about consumer sex, because there's different forms of that. And every form is connected to sex trafficking in some way or shape or form, and definitely connected to sexual exploitation. And what's interesting about pornography is that, one, it's, I think almost without fail, every person's first experience with consumer sex. Our first experience is going to be with pornography before, most likely, before prostitution or any other type of consumer sex out there. And so pornography plays a key role because it's already, you know, it's like the gateway drug, the gateway avenue. And but it's also playing a very important role in that, in the way that it's marketed to men, to society, making it okay, and and even creating some of those built-in justifications that's important then to then transition into paying for prostituted people or whatever. So there's that aspect of it that pornography can lead to other forms of paying for sex, and it's usually our first four-way into that behavior. But then secondly, traffickers, certainly they're looking to make money any way they can, and pornography is a great way for them to make money. So the idea that there aren't sex trafficking victims in pornography is a terrible myth. There are plenty of sex trafficking victims that are being used in pornography, are also being sold in prostitution, and are also in our adult venue places around the world. So traffickers aren't just saying, no, there's only one, you know, we're only going to try to make money one way in this industry, any and all ways. In fact, I just read a report about the dating, the dating sites, you know, the sugar daddy dating sites, another great avenue for pimps and traffickers to make money. And so they will use any and every possible means, you know, massage parlors. I could go on. There's no shortage of ways that people would try to make money by exploiting another person.
And I like the fact that you guys are saying the one of the key elements to changing this, to radically transforming this, is by focusing on the demand side. And yes. I also like the fact that the approach that you're taking, it doesn't matter what type of consumer behavior somebody's involved in, whether it's prostitution, whether it is pornography or whatever else, the principles for change, the principles for hope are going to be the same no matter what. Can you, for right now, can you maybe just even think about, you know, the guys in our audience right now that maybe, hey, they're still carrying their shame. They've got their secret that nobody knows what they've been doing, whether it's pornography or anything else. With your experience and just also with the resources that you guys are providing, what would you say to those guys out there that are just, they are so, you know it, they're gripped with fear. They're struggling to think that, man, I'm listening to these guys. I mean, some of this sounds good. I'd love to think that there is a possibility that maybe something could be different. But you know what? I've been burned before when I tried to confess to somebody. I keep going back to the same well over and over again, and no matter how many promises I make to God or myself. What would be some words of encouragement or hope that you would give to those guys out there that might help them take that next step towards freedom?
Yeah, I think the first thing I would say, which is to me the most important, is that they're not alone. You are not alone. We, so many other people have been in your shoes, know exactly what you're going through, have experienced the shame, the multiple times failing, the feeling trapped. And there's a community of us that have experienced freedom and restoration and healing and are still striving to maintain our sexual integrity. And you can connect with those communities. There's communities of men that are in the journey with men just like you. And please join those communities. And one great way is to connect with Be Broken. One of the one resource that we offer, and I think you're partnering with them as well. And I just love this resource. I've been telling everybody about it, but it's the Live Free Community app.
Yeah.
And such a great way to connect and talk about a low risk step to take to then enter a community of like-minded men who are at every different stage in this journey, and supporting one another in getting free. So that's the main thing, is that you're not alone, and freedom is still possible. No matter how bad, you know, we all think we have it the worst, right? I think that's just a syndrome of humanity, is that we'll always think that, no, my situation is the worst. No, nobody else can touch what I've been through. And yet then you get in community with other men and you go, oh, wow, you had the same struggles or very similar struggles that I had. And so, yeah, freedom is possible.
So, yeah, why don't you share with us some of the resources, actually, that are part of what you guys are doing with the Gateway to Freedom Foundation, and how guys can get connected with those to take their next step towards freedom.
Yeah, everything centers around our what we call our pathways to freedom. So another way of just saying Gateway to Freedom, Pathways to Freedom. But everything for us centers around our Pathways to Freedom resources, intervention resources. And right now we offer three things. And the first is the Live Free Community app. And as we said, that's our low risk, high reward option for men. Because we know, again, there's serious barriers that would prevent men from accessing any resource, even admitting that they have a problem. Those are serious barriers. For us, the app is the lowest barrier, you know, to join. And what I tell men is, one, you have really nothing to lose. It's a very low cost, and you can enter that community, and you could be a fly on the wall for a little bit, and just see what's going on, and, you know, dip your toe in the water, and see what it's like. That's what that app is, full of all kinds of really good information and community and all that. So the Live Free app, and then we offer the Gateway to Freedom workshop, again, in partnering with you all, bringing it back to Pennsylvania. We're going to be offering that multiple times a year. November is the next one kind of on our calendar. And we're really excited about this. And I say this to men, you know, I read a stat that said 1/3 of active buyers of consumer sex wish they could stop. And I know that's a point of time reference, because at some point, every man who's consuming sex at one point in their life is going to say, you know what, I want to stop this behavior. You know, mm-hmm. I'm going to look for a way out. But 1/3 at the time of this study said they highly agree they wish they could stop. Mm. And I feel the workshop is really for those men who are ready to get free. If you are ready to get free and you're not, you know, thinking, oh, well, maybe it's still not a problem. Maybe, you know, if you're not hemming and hawing about it, you know, and you're serious, then come to the workshop. The workshop is people that go to the workshop, they are taking a definitive step to get free. And they are saying, and then you've got a community that is saying, we're going to be there with you every step of the way. You know, mm-hmm. we are also going to help ensure your freedom and all that. So we have the workshop. And then lastly, we offer a resource directory that's full of all kinds of resources, books and podcasts and everything. And that's for, you know, hey, there's a lot of really great stuff out there. So If the app isn't, you're not ready for the app, you can't do a workshop, here are some other resources that you can kind of learn on your own if you want to, get some more information, get some more research in, and that. So what everything else we do really at Gateway to Freedom Foundation is to bring people to these resources and also help people understand why these resources are so necessary and how they can be helpful. So,
and so where can people go to find all of those resources?
Yeah, so our website has all that, and it's gatewayff.org.
Yeah.
Gatewayff.org.
Yeah, and we'll be sure to add that in the show notes for today. But Derek, thank you for the work that you've been doing for a long time in this space, and for the work that you're doing specifically now through TFC Global. We appreciate what you're doing and for being with us today.
Hey, right back at you, Jonathan. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Well, listeners, go to gatewayff.org.
.org.
Okay. Yeah, go to gatewayff.org to get all those resources. And we're glad that you've been with us, and we look forward to seeing you back here again next time on the Pure Sex Radio program. Take care.